I mean, just look at you. We've all been on journeys to come to this place. This place in our lives, this place in seeking and discovering. This means a great deal to me to be able to be here with you. I'm very cognizant of the journey that took me to experience HeartMath and the discoveries that were there. I came across HeartMath, which I'm going to be sharing a part of their discoveries with you this morning, much more extensive this afternoon. But I came across them when they had just formed. Are you hearing me okay? So a little bit of this. It's a little louder on the sound, please. They're doing better. There we are. I was the first clergy person to come across HeartMath. They're a secular organization. They come out of scientific research. But scientific research by people who were passionately involved in the exploration of what brings about human transformation. And as a part of that, they had made a core discovery of the human system. And then they set about teaching that and testing it. And I came across them and took their little training they had and thought, well, that's very interesting. They were talking about heart intelligence. Now, I was a lawyer. I was overeducated, let's say. And basically, throughout my years, no one had ever taught about heart intelligence. We all knew where intelligence came from, didn't we? You know, okay, it's up here. It's why you think. And for years, I had studied how to think with this thing. Okay, and so suddenly they're talking about heart intelligence, and I thought, well, it's kind of a metaphor, or something like that. You know, it's out of the spiritual world. We use a lot of those terms, kind of broadly and loosely. And so I figured, but they did a nice job. They were nice people. And then I found myself at home. I was actually in my office at the church that I had at the time. And there was one of those situations that happens in churches where somebody's unhappy about something. Now, we're in a lovely church here. I'm sure it never happens here. But, and what happened, the difficulty with that when you're the minister is eventually that works up to where it's in your lap. And knowing the person and knowing the situation, I looked at, what can we do about this? And there was basically nothing. We were going to end up with one of those fabulous spiritual situations that's called lose-lose. And so I looked at all the options, and I was sitting there, and I noticed I was a little upset about it. I was worried. I was going to have to deal with this mess. I had more than enough to do anyhow. And then I remembered, wow, this feels stressful. Now, I was just down at that HeartMath place, and they said that they could literally transform my stress in a minute. Well, I had a minute. And I thought, well, this will be a good test. So I went through their steps. I'm sitting there in my chair. And I probably took 2 minutes instead of 1 minute because I wanted to do it right. I went through each one and really did the focus that they talked about and that. And at the end of 2 minutes, I was sitting there and I thought, well, how am I? I felt great. I didn't feel tension. I didn't feel anxiety. I didn't feel worry. And I realized I knew what to do about the situation. And I knew it would work. I thought, wow. Now, I understand that your group has a very rich spiritual background for many of you, and some of you are, thank God, skeptics in many different ways, and you know, all of which is part of our spirituality to me. And I thought, well, this worked once, and it worked. It worked for me, and it really looks like what they told me was accurate. This is a different level of understanding and looking at this than I had before. Comes from the heart. But I want to know if it works for everybody. And I had about 250 of everybody about to show up in a day or two on Sunday morning. And I thought, I get to do the test. So I took, after that Sunday I got up and took that 250 people. And I took them through two different experiences. And as a result of that test, it looked to me like there really was heart intelligence. Would you be willing to do that test? Just check it out. You know, if it doesn't work, we can all go home early. So, in the handout sheet you have, right at the top, there's a little part of the sheet that has that's split in half there, A and B. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to take you through two experiences. They're going to be about a minute and a half, and they're just different internal experiences that we can have. And so I'd like to invite you to follow me through those experiences. And to start with, if we're going to deal with stress, you may as well remember something that's caused you stress. Now, for some of you, it may be more than a week or an hour or 2 weeks. But chances are, there's something that showed up in your life recently that caused you some stress. So just to sort of hold that in mind and let yourself feel it. Okay, feel that the tension. You know, we feel it physically, we feel it emotionally. It affects our thinking. Let yourself know. So what we're going to do is we're going to take that experience and go through two different processes. Again, I'll lead you through. It'll just be about a minute and a half for each one. If you want to write something down, so if you can get out your pen or have that available. And I would close your eyes. That's because we're doing an internal process, and it's a little easier to stay focused if we're really... don't have the visual distraction. So let's begin for our first process. I invite you to feel that stress. Let's begin with that real experience in your body and your emotions. Feel that stress. Now we know that creates tension in the body, so I invite you to kind of wiggle your shoulders and maybe stretch them a little bit. Sort of let that tension release from your shoulders and let it just flow down your body, out through your feet, into the earth. You may want to roll your head a little bit and stretch your neck. And as we know, our tension and stress so often shows up in our face. As the frown, as the tension. So I invite you to just release any tension from your face. Let it relax. Let that relaxation be felt in the scalp, the neck. And again, just let it flow out of the body, down into the earth. And then relax into your chair. Just let the chair hold you up. Relaxed. Comfortable. And I invite you to go to a moment of silence. Just let the mind become still for a moment. And now ask yourself, what are at least two different ways, maybe even three different ways that I could handle this situation? Two or three different ways to effectively take care of this situation. And I invite you on the side A there, where it's got 1, 2, 3, write down some notes that identify that way of addressing the situation, so that you've got at least two alternatives there. And then looking at those alternatives that you just jotted some notes on. Out there at the edge, put a check mark by the one that's really best. You can honestly look at that and know, okay, this is going to be the better of the options. Now I am invite you to kind of put that aside for a moment. Just take a deep breath with me. And go back to the memory of being stressed. Okay, go back to that situation that we began with just a moment ago and let yourself feel it again. We're going to run through the second technique. So just bring it to your awareness. Feel it in your body. Feel that emotion, maybe those thoughts that go with it. Now take your hand and touch your heart. And bring your attention to this area around your heart. Pretend to breathe in and out through the heart as you focus your attention there. Focus on that breath in and out through the heart. Now bring to your awareness someone that you really appreciate. Someone you care about deeply, that you just feel such appreciation and care for. And let yourself feel that appreciation. Feel that heartfelt care for that person. What a beautiful thing to feel. Enjoy that feeling. As though that breath through the heart could deepen that feeling. It just fills you. What a beautiful thing to feel. Appreciation or care for someone or something in your life. And now, sincerely, ask yourself, what is a more effective response to this situation in my life? Sincerely ask, what is a more effective response? And write that response on the side, the B side of your sheet there where it says response. now I invite you to look at what you wrote down on side A and what you wrote down on side B. And compare those two. And I invite you to really look and see which one of those really is the most effective response to the situation in front of you, the situation that was causing you stress. Which is really the most effective? And there are little boxes down at the bottom of A and B. So put a star in that if it's A or B. Now, there may be a few of you that actually have the same thing written on both sides. Okay. If that's so, then I want you to look and say, the attitude I was in when I wrote that, which attitude, what I experienced in A or what I experienced in B, would be the most effective in helping me follow this effect completion. So, and use that. If you have exactly the same thing, then use that sense of attitude in terms of marking A or B. Okay, so everybody that marked side A, raise your hand. Look around the room. Everybody that marked side B, raise your hand. Look around the room. Side B was the access to the intelligence of your heart. Side A was the most effective set of steps that we know to get to the intelligence of your brain. So if I understand what you just did, you're all telling me that you've got intelligent hearts. Fair enough? So, and I'm saying, wow, that was even, usually we get 90%. I'm not sure, I've seen 98% before. Because sometimes your heart sneaks over and speaks through your head. But we'll talk about that later. But there's a difference. There's a different intelligence within us. And this isn't the first time you've connected with it. You've connected with it often. Generally, what I found in my connection with it was it took a lot of following my spiritual disciplines to get close to it. And sometimes it just happened. But a lot of the time, my brilliant head continued to tell me how to run my life. And it's smart, it's well educated. It's not particularly wise. The difference, the heart intelligence as you experience there is something that within our world we call wisdom. And you've had that. This isn't a new experience for you. The difference is that with the research that HeartMath did, they were able to identify this, quantify this, and show us how to change the body so that we could access it intentionally. The secret is that in the exercise we did, exercise B, there was a biophysical change in your body that opened the access to your heart's intelligence. Also, I'm going to share with you in sharing with HeartMath things. They love me a lot and they give me a great deal of latitude. They are a secular organization. They let this guy that's been a minister for 35 years stand up and talk. That's brave, period. But they also allow me the gift of interpreting this in terms of my spiritual understanding. As long as I make it clear that this is David, not HeartMath. They're very careful that they are secular. Now, what I know about all of them is they are magnificent spiritual beings and deeply connected, because that's what happens with your heart, in my point of view. But to change it in language from the secular to the spiritual, this would be, within the terms that I understand it, spiritual connection. And what you experienced wasn't just your biophysical heart. What you experienced was your spiritual heart. And that is where our wisdom dwells. Now, to you all that are good, healthy skeptics, keep the skepticism. This is just David talking. Okay, so I'm gonna go back to heart math here. But because I know that the spiritual search is meaningful to many of your lives, I have found it valuable with the people that I work with to point out this distinction. What we're finding is an integration of being to where our biophysical actually becomes the instrument to the access to the spiritual nature, in David's term. So let's go a little bit deeper into what this looks like. I want to share with you the experience of my son. My son Peter and his wife live in L.A. His wife is Julia. And at this point in their lives, they have the most magnificent 10-year-old baby. I could show you pictures all day long. But this event happened some time ago, before baby, and it occurred where Julia came home from work. She'd been in a temporary position with a financial services company, and they had offered her a permanent position. It was very attractive financially, and she was all upset by it. And she was upset because she'd been working there, and she knew why this position kept coming open. Some of you may have worked in offices like that. Okay, so she knew the difficulties of it and the demands that were going to be there. And here, on the other hand, was the financial opportunity she'd been hoping for. And so she felt that conflict, and she began to worry, which she's good at. And so she got more into the worry and the anxiety and the frustration whether or not to do this, to put herself in that situation just for the money, and could she handle it, or was it better to wait until a better position came along? And so as she began to worry, she became so tense that she began to trigger some deeper anxiety patterns that at time as a young woman she had found that she had. So Peter's there with his wife, and she's going through this anguish. Now Peter went with me to heart math and learned those steps. So what he knew while she was going through this is there's a way to transform that emotion, to literally stop that stress and anxiety. He knew there was a way for her to get to the real answer she needed, whatever that was. Unfortunately, this was not her first time being worried and upset about something. And Peter had learned he could be husband or he could be heart math coach, but he could not be both. So his knowledge wasn't going to help him at all. It wasn't going to help Julia. She was in this struggle. And I think how often in our lives have we had people that we loved and cared about that were close to us, and we've seen them in a point of anguish, of difficulty, and sometimes we knew the answer. We understood what needed to happen. We knew what was going on there. And we couldn't help. So as Peter watched this, what happened was he wanted to help her, but he couldn't. And he began feeling frustrated and wanted to do something, but he couldn't. And he began getting worried with her. How was she going to do? And was this almost becoming toxic as she was struggling with this question? And then he realized that he was stressed. Now, he could do something about that. So he took what was probably about it. And he went through these steps. Three very focused, very powerful steps. Internal focuses shifted. And he ended up asking just what you asked a moment ago. What is a more effective response? And what he got was, ask her if you can hold her. So he said to Julia, can I just hold you? And then she looked at him and said, yes. And so he just put his arms around her and held her, and she was almost shaking, and she began to relax and release, and he just held her silently. And after a while, she said, thank you, I feel better. And thank you for not saying anything. That had been part of the guidance, too. Now, the reason that I share this particular story with you is I want to look at what happened. Okay, you have two people. And the one individual is caught in worry and anxiety, and for the reason of feeling powerless, pulled the other one into that. Now my guess is we've hung out there a time or two. But then there was a shift, a change, for Peter from being stressed to not stressed. From being confused and worried to knowing clearly what to do and how to do it. So you have not only the cessation of stress, the change of the anxiety pattern, the emotional pattern within us, but you also have a wisdom that guides through how to deal with. But the interesting thing in this wisdom is it wasn't just about Peter. It was about Julia. Because there's a discovery about the heart that the heart has an electromagnetic field. And this field is called the intuitive field. It is how we share information that is beyond the five senses. So Peter could intuit Julia's need, which wasn't for an answer. It was for connection and care and support. Now that was not what his head told him when he saw her worrying. She needed him to teach her. Whoops, nope. But that change, realize this is a major change within human consciousness. The ability to stop our stress. And I'm going to warn you. I'm going to teach you how to do that. And there's a downside to that. You don't get to be stressed anymore. You can't blame it. Unless you want to. It's okay. It's all optional. But it's literally the biophysical change caused by this discovery shifts the patterns within the brain that cause our anxiety, our worry. And there is access to then this deeper level of wisdom and intelligence within us, the heart intelligence. And we do it not separate, but with the connection to the world around us that we are involved in. Sensitive not just to me, but to us. That's a major shift within an individual's consciousness. And now, I don't know how many of you are cursed with the Y gene. You know, something comes up and that's nice, that's very interesting, that's very helpful. Why? How does it work? What takes place? Anybody have that curse? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's fine, tell me, but why? How does it work? Well, I got it. That's what takes you to places like HeartMath. So I'm going to show you just the core piece of science that is behind this transformation that we've been talking about. And then we'll go through it. I want to go through the steps with you. And once we've seen the science, then we can understand why those steps are effective. Why they bring about this change within us. Yes? Okay. She's concerned about the percussive effect on the microphone. Okay. Is that better? No. 1, 2, 3. Okay. P. 1, 2, 3, 4. P. Okay. Thank you. And everybody's ears thanks you too. Yes. Okay. So this you all recognize, I'm sure. It's the electrical signal of the heart. And we know from watching television that flat is not thick. And it turns out now, the pattern, we're going to talk about a change of pattern within the heart. Now, it's not the change of this pattern, but rather a pattern that evolves from this. The pattern we're talking about is heart rate variability, which is the speeding up and slowing down of the heart. Now, what we know is, if you start running, your heart's going to speed up. If you sit here calmly, your heart slows down. But in fact, every beat, the heart rate changes. So remember doing the thing to find your pulse, and basically that's an average. But this is a sketch of somebody's heartbeats. And the way that you find the heart rate variability is by measuring the interval, and that tells you how fast it is, if that was consistent, how many beats per minute that would be. So you can see the first beat is there at 70 beats per minute, the second at 76, the third at 83. So if you were to graph that, it would be a line going up. Okay. If it were slowing down, you'd see it slow down. So I'm going to show you the graph of someone who's sitting in a chair at the Institute of Heart Math in their lab, all wired up. And what Heart Math began to do is examine these heart patterns against particular feeling states. So this person was asked to feel mild frustration. It was probably trying to find the road to get up to the HeartMath Institute. So that is the heart rate variability of someone feeling mild frustration. And so when the line's going up, that means the heart is speeding up. Well, it's going down. It's slowing down. Now, you'll notice there's a real breadth there, and that's good. Babies have a huge breadth. You and I are narrowing a little bit, except for you young folks. And we have a couple people that practice heart here. But you can see there's no order to that. It's incoherent. It's disordered. So that same person is then asked to feel something different. They're asked to feel sincere, heartfelt appreciation. Now, that was the same thing that we did in that exercise. Sincere, heartfelt appreciation. That's what their heart looks like. That's the speeding up and slowing down of their heart. Now, those of you with a little medical realize that's the autonomic nervous system being buddy with each other, saying, oh, you speed up, okay, you went fast enough now, slow down. Instead of fighting, cooperating. That is ordered. That is coherent. This is the change from feeling of mild frustration to the feeling of sincere appreciation. Now, that's not improvement. Improvement is where it gets a little better. It's not quite as chaotic. That's transformation. It went from one level, incoherent, to a different state and level of function, coherence, order. Now, that pattern on your heart, that pattern is being sent up to your brain. And it affects your brain. One of the parts of the brain that it affects is your amygdala, which is your emotional memory processor. It's that thing that lets you get worried and upset and angry. It changes it. It actually changes the way that the cognitive function of your brain works. You get smarter. That pattern, that shift within us, causes the body to change, and it changes the brain. So the first effect that we were looking at as we went through this was that it stops stress. It stops stress because it transforms the pattern the amygdala is going through. That is why it shifts. It doesn't shift because appreciation is nice. It doesn't appreciate, it doesn't change because the sun is shining. It changes because you entered into a very specific feeling. It doesn't change when you think an appreciative thought. That's appreciation too. It changes only when you feel it. That is the change. And that is why when we went through the test that we did, and we focused on appreciating someone, what we were doing was changing our bodies. And that change within our bodies changed our brain. So that reactive part of the brain that was causing the stressful reaction quit stressing us. And it didn't take therapy. It didn't take prayer. I know folks who can do this very good who wouldn't pray for nothing. I know some folks who do it real well who's also very good at that. It changed because of the biophysical process within the body. When you feel that deep, sincere appreciation. And there are other feelings that cause it. And that's part of the research that's there. And that's part of what we're going to work with today. Different ways in which you can get into this transformation. So what I'd like to do is take you through an experience of doing this real time with a real situation, letting me walk you through the steps. How are we doing time-wise? Okay. How much do we have? Okay. Would that be okay to go ahead for? Okay, because I would like to have you experience this. We can take our break, and then at least when I go through an experience, I end up with many more questions than when I walked in the room. So we can take time and explore those at that point. So let me go through the steps that are involved. You've experienced them, but I didn't identify the steps, and there are particular ways to do them that can be more effective. So the first step, well, let me put it in context. When I worked at HeartMath, we lived in a beautiful redwood forest in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And I had teenage kids, and we had an affirmation that we used every morning as we were getting ready to get everything said, get breakfast, and get down to the school bus. It was, hurry up or you'll miss the school bus. Okay, we repeated that diligently every morning, and those of you that work with affirmations will recognize what inevitably happened. We showed up at the school bus late, you know, having done the frenetic, oh, where is this and what is that, and hurry up because we're already late, get in the car. And so we got down there, and so I'm there with the children, and in Santa Cruz Mountains, you can't catch the bus and get in front of it. That doesn't work in that part of the world. There's a vortex there of some sort. I couldn't drive the kids to school because I had to be at work in just a few minutes. I was thinking of making them walk. There was kind of a satisfaction, you know, except it was 8 miles and didn't feel like that. So, you know, one of those lose-lose situations that you're going to be in. And I went through these steps, just sitting there in the car, upset at the kids, worried about the fact that we could not resolve this easily. And so the first thing that I did was just touch my heart and focus on the area of the heart. Pretend to breathe through the heart. Now, the advantage of that, pretending to breathe through the heart, of course, we breathe through the lungs and the nose, but we can pretend anything. So it lets us really focus our attention right there in the heart. And then the second step, after I did that for several breaths, then the second step was the sincere appreciation. I had to make that effort. Now that I was focused on the heart, I had to make that effort to get from the irritation at the children. I'm not sure it was that nice. I get from that state of irritation and frustration to a feeling of appreciation. Now, I'm going to share with you that I believe the easiest way to do that is to actually go to a memory. Because in our memories, we access our feeling nature. And even though the memory's in the past, the feeling experience is present. So, I went in that moment to, wow, feeling appreciation. We'd had a walk through the redwoods just a couple days before, and it was just such fun. And the trees were magnificent, and the kids were having a ball, and, you know, just one of those good, beautiful family moments you get in beautiful places. So I could get there. Wow, that was wonderful. I could feel it. My heart felt full. I could feel that appreciation. So I took and just spent 30 seconds in that feeling. Now, what I know is in that 30 seconds, my body changed. my heart's signal changed. It changed the way that my emotions were functioning from the brain. And with that change, that stress, that anxiety, that frustration disappeared. But I still had the situation to deal with. So I needed that intelligence. So the third step is sincere asking. Now, not just asking. Okay, I have asked a lot of questions to try and get the answer I wanted. Most questions that I ask, I know what the answer should be. Most of us are that way. But that's not sincere. Sincere is where you really open, have that real desire. And this was a real desire to resolve this situation. Sincere asking, what is a more effective response? And in a moment, I knew what to do. Now, the resolution was very simple. They were children. I was an adult. They were going to high school as teenagers. Their day was going to be a lot more stressful than mine. I was going to work with a wonderful group of friends on marvelous projects we enjoy. I knew the difference between our worlds. I felt my care for them. Now, I did not feel my care for them 3 minutes before. I felt my irritation and frustration for them. But that perception changed. That's what the heart does. It changes our perception. So that third sincere asking. So I knew I could go on. I'm extremely responsible. Being late one time over several years is not going to cost me my job. No, nor am I so indispensable that nothing's going to happen without me. It's quite okay. And it was really important that they not get to school stressed and frustrated. So I knew to say to them, to help them with their stress, to say to them, you know, I know you're upset, and but you have a big day in front of you. Let's take the time to relax. I'm going to put some music on. We'll drive you. Just relax. Get there. You'll have a great day. And I'll work it out with my folks. And when we get home tonight, not now, tonight, we'll talk about how to not do this again. Different perception. Sincere asking. And that sincerity is a heart feeling. It's a real secret of the effective use of the heart math of this particular tool that we're talking about. This is the heart wisdom tool. So those are our steps. Touch and breathe. Okay, touch your heart. Pretend to breathe through your heart. Remember and feel. Remember a moment or remember a person, someone that you really appreciate. And feel it. It's wonderful. And the third is sincere asking. So on your sheet there is a, at the bottom is the heart wisdom tool. So I'm gonna take about 2 minutes to take us through it. Just write the situation, your favorite stressful situation. Okay. And with that, what you'll notice is in the middle of that, you have certain thoughts and feelings. Just a couple of those. Yes, I feel frustrated. I think he's a jerk. Whatever it is. Thoughts and feelings. And then as you're doing this, I want you to look, and there's a line right under there that says feeling before. It goes -5, completely stressed, +5, feeling great. So if you'd give a quantitative, how does that feel when you're in that stressful experience? Where are you? Is it a -2 or a -5? You know, what's that like? Just what Ray Dent's feeling, though. Now, let's just go through it. Be aware of how that stress feels. You've just been focused on it, so it's easy. And maybe close your eyes to help focus internally. Touch your heart and breathe. Pretend to breathe through your heart. Long, deep breaths. Remember, second step, remember that person, that situation you appreciate. Remember what that feels like. And feel those beautiful feelings. Enjoy that feeling. And now, sincerely, ask yourself, what is a more effective response to this situation? What is a more effective response to this situation? And write that response on your worksheet. And then as you write that response, just check in again. How do you feel? What's the feeling now? -5, completely stressed. +5, feeling great. There's a place to write that down under the response. Okay, as we close here, let's just take a moment and look at those numbers, before and after. What were those numbers for you?
-4, +3. -3, +5.
-3, +5.
-5, +3.
-5 to -2. -3 to +3. Okay, so take a look at that shift. And how long's our break, Pat?
20 minutes.
On 20 minutes, let's explore all the things that we haven't gotten to.
The blue group is responsible for our snacks, so we look forward to their, as always, appetizing offerings for us. So I think that covers all the housekeeping details. Have I forgotten anything? No? All right, then I will turn the mic around and turn the podium back to David.
All right, well, it was fun for me hearing the shifts that were there within the feeling world. I went straight through so we could get the awareness of the different shifts that are involved, and you had the experience of it. Now, thank you for being patient. All the things that came up that you want to ask, let's dive in and explore those. Yes. Oh, good. Okay, yes. There was a request to use the mic.
A process that I have known for a number of years, I find that you're using their language, focusing. Have you directly or indirectly studied Gene Genlin's focusing? And then I just want to put an addendum. What I love about this is it takes a fraction of the time that focusing does.
Yes, thank
and
you.
And with the same results.
The specific answer is no.
Okay.
I have not. I'm just generally aware of it.
It's in some of the hard math literature, mm-hmm. a reference to it.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
The one of the things that was important to Doc Childrey, who's a HeartMath founder, and the people that were there, was that what they worked with was something that worked in the moment. Now, as we've gone through, one of the things I've done is invite us to close our eyes and because we're learning something, and it helps to focus for those shifts of awareness. But the truth is, these are eyes open in the moment. And this afternoon, I'm going to go into a little more detail on that with you. And these are skills. They're skills that the more you do, the better you get. That all part of that also is the quicker they work, so that you can make that movement. You know, as you've been doing this for years, I'm sure you see that. Wow, you can get to that heart response in under the minute. And so again, it's skill. And so one of the things that's going to happen this afternoon is I really want to look at that skill development. Now that we know how to do it, how do we get effective at it and expand it into different areas of where we can use that heart intelligence to handle things in our life that generally we assign to a different realm. So that's a little bit what we're going to be playing with this afternoon.
Hi. Is there any research done on practicing heart math in conjunction with contemplative prayer practices?
I'm trying to think how to answer that. Heart math backed away from doing that research. One of the things that they discovered was that groups become very proprietary and they all want to be the best. And so if your research supports their experience, they love you. If it actually says not quite as effective as you thought it was, they sue you. And it's really an understanding. Now, it's not that they aren't fully aware. And those of us that work, and there are many clergy, many people with very extensive spiritual backgrounds that work with the heart math material. So I'll say no to their research. And what I will say is that what I have discovered in, and I've worked with thousands and thousands of people on these, if one gets into the state of heart coherence, the prayer process and a contemplative or silence process tends to be reported by the people as deeper. That it is a doorway. It's not a substitute. They do different things. But it is a marvelous companion or add-on to the experience. And there are many people who work with HeartMath who have very extensive backgrounds in many different disciplines, spiritual, psychological, and others. And what they've really found is that the healthiest relationship is to view it as an add-on, that it's not a competitor, it's not a do this instead of that. But it goes back to the idea, would more heart support what I'm doing? Oh, I know I didn't answer them all.
Good morning. I have two questions, one of my mother's and one of my own. So my mother would like to know is having a... I got, that's okay, Tom. There we go. Is having a pacemaker an issue with regard to this technique?
So, it is. In that you are not going to see the same kind of coherent patterns because the pacemaker basically controls the coherence. It controls the fluctuation. What happens is it doesn't make a difference in terms of the effects that you get to. When you go into the feeling state affects the heart pattern, but it affects much more than that within the body. So what my understanding is that there are systems, and I'm going to go into a little bit of this afternoon, that go into coherence, that go into entrainment, even though the pacemaker may not be the primary induction into that. So it doesn't stand in the way of those feelings being effective in terms of the transformation, but it would stand in the way if you were trying to measure your coherence.
Thank you. My question, I really appreciated the example you gave of your boys being late for school. So part of that technique was to think of something you deeply, sincerely appreciate. And the example you used was connected with your boys. Mm-hmm. So my question is, when you're using this technique, is it best or better to think of an appreciative memory connected with the person or situation as opposed to just in general something you appreciated?
That's important. And the answer is, generally, the farther it is from the person you're dealing with, the better. Okay. It was actually what got me into that one wasn't the kids, it was the redwood trees. The reason is, if you're upset at your spouse, that stimulus keeps triggering. Now, it's not that you haven't had beautiful, wonderful times with your heart full together. It's just that your brain really doesn't want to go there. But if you think of maybe time with one of the kids when they were a baby, that's easy. It doesn't. Now, so let me bring in something that often gets confusing here. Within many of our religious paths is a teaching of love your enemy. This is not that. This is love any way you can get there. Okay. And because what happens is the shift in the body is what makes the difference, not the subject matter. So, you know, when it's the power company that, you know, is being absolutely unreasonable, what you think of is your granddaughter. Okay, you don't think of the time that they were really cooperative or that nice man next door that actually worked for the power company. You get as far away from that as possible. Because once you get into the coherence, the body shifts, and then you're free. So that first impact of the coherence, that it frees us from the emotional pattern that is determining our perception. We're going to work on perception this afternoon, but the what happens here is a shift of perception. And as long as that emotional pattern is in control, it wants to hold on to the perception that it's defined. So-and-so is out of line. They're being this way. This is unreasonable. This is a threat to me. Whatever that happens to be. So if you can get as far away as possible in your subject matter, but still get into coherence.
Whoa.
That's good.
I have a daughter who has severe brain concussion, and it's not going to get better. from what the doctors think. But can this heart math work to reconfigure her thinking process or something? Can anything be done through the heart that can't be done through the head?
The answer is yes. Things can be done through the heart that can't be done through the head. Would it reconfigure? I do not know. What I know is I have worked very, very closely with several people who have dealt with extensive brain trauma. And their ability to heal through that process, they ascribe to a high degree to the work with heart math. One of the reasons, now I don't know if this is your daughter's situation, but with brain trauma, so often there is very extensive emotional structure, release, processing. And again, it's not going to take care of that completely, but it begins to give them the power to work with it, to minimize it, to move out of it quicker, to gain some level of control over the emotional and the pain trauma that often comes associated with brain injury. And I say this just because I have there is a woman, her name is Jasmina Arkello, and she went through extensive brain trauma, very skilled heart math practitioner, and she might be worth connecting with her and asking what she did. She actually has a book out in which she talks about it.
Okay.
So
I'll get that name from you and write it down afterwards. Thank you very much.
You bet.
I asked you at the break, but I think everybody would like to know, did Julia take the job?
Oh, yes. Yes, she got the job, and she had all the skill needed to straighten things out, and it's been very successful for them. Thus, new baby and happy couple. So, during the workshop, I want to go into it extensively, but I want to mention it here. This is a skill that you're starting to learn. We went through it several times. You went through it with a group of people around you, which is a distracting way to do anything. Okay, you went through it hearing me, who you don't know, guiding you through it for the first time. That tells me that there are probably a number of people here who found it didn't get them where they needed to go. That skill. It's that I want to work on some this afternoon. I'm very impressed with how skilled you all are. This is like being in a candy factory for me. because I could see in you the work and hear the feedback. But there are a number of things that make a difference in how effective each one of these steps are. And I also want to tell you, this is the Heart Wisdom Tool. This same tool in the Heart Math books is called Freeze Frame. Now, I have simplified it, and because I work with so many people that I have simply found if they use the step these ways, this way, when I leave the room, more people actually get to the wisdom. And they've blessed me in doing that. But when you look at the Heart Math books, the technique is freeze frame, and it is, to me, the most powerful single technique that I know of. Because it gets all the way through transformation, clear to very clear wisdom.
Speaking of the Heart Intelligence book that we are reading, there in chapter 5, I think it talks about computer programs that support development of the skill and also biofeedback. And I wondered if you could, you may be going to talk about that this afternoon, but I wonder if you can just mention a little about it.
I'd be glad to. Fortunately, next week, the woman that's coming, what's her name? Melinda Dewey, works with HeartMath, and she is going to work with you with the technology. In the Heart Intelligence book, the technology has progressed to beyond that. That was my first book, and I once had the privilege of sitting in the lab at HeartMath and going through the heart wisdom tool, going through the breathing, going through the feeling, watching my heart patterns change from incoherent and all over the place into that beautiful, steady picture that we saw in this slide. That set of equipment was probably at least $60,000 that I was hooked up to. But really caring about people, they said, wouldn't it be nice if everyone could do that? So they developed software and hardware to make that possible. A handheld unit called the M-Wave, and there is a more extensive set of software that goes on a computer, so you can do it on your computer. You can see your heart change in real time. They now have an app. The app is free. The sensor is about $160, I think, to buy. It's a Bluetooth sensor to clip on the ear, and the heart pattern is then sent to the smartphone, and you can see real time, and it tells you the different levels of coherence that you get into over time. So they have this. It's on both. There's two HeartMath sites. The Institute, which is the research site, is heartmath.org. The training and product site is the... Oh, there it is. Yes. This is the earlier one that goes on the ear, so they can take the pulse from the ear, and they have the algorithms in the software, and it plugs into, it plugs into your smartphone, and there, and they now have a Bluetooth sensor, so we don't even need to quit. There's a Bluetooth sensor. All right, so what a group. I love it. So they're quite reasonable. And now I'm going to diverge a little. We're going to go back to David the minister. This is the first technology that I've seen that can actually tell you that when you are in that state of coherence, it is a picture of spiritual connection. Okay, it's the only thing I know that actually gives that feedback. So as a person committed to spiritual practice, that feedback is meaningful to me. As anyone who wants to be healthy, really take a look at your the levels of stress and how you transform them and how quickly you can. This is tremendously helpful. It's also... helpful. This afternoon we're going to go into a number of memories where your heart was really full, where you really felt the power of your heart take over. And it lets you see how quickly those memories will bring you into the state of coherence. That was meaningful to me because I thought some were just wow. And, you know, it got there. And then I realized there were some that just, they took me over. I touched that memory and I was in deep coherence. And so the software is very helpful. But again, you're really going to get a chance to explore that next week.
One more question.
Yes.
One more question.
Oh, one more question. Come on up. That would be great.
Are you then saying that when a person is in coherence, that it is a spiritual state?
Yes. Okay. Yes. That, to me, what has happened at that point is you have hit the access code to the heart. That is direct spiritual connection to David. And In the latest HeartMath book, which is Heart Intelligence, they acknowledge the spiritual heart. And, so it was fun since I just published my book to see that. And it's Doc Childery himself who is doing that. But again, they're very careful. It's easy for people to move into a spiritual concept and then bring in a set of beliefs around that. One of the powerful things with this is it doesn't matter what you believe. You get into coherence, it stops the stress. You ask sincerely, you're going to get the answer. Is that the end of our time?
I just want to say, I have a lunch announcement, but I want to say something about a semantic thing. Incoherence is two words is different than incoherent.
So yes.
I think we heard something different from people, so I wanted to point that out. All right.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. It's lunchtime, and if you prefer to eat on your lap, that's fine. There's eating outside, that's fine. But we're going to move those books into the boxes, and if you want to eat, there's chairs over there. Move yourself a chair and sit down at the table. So it's at your pleasure, on your lap, table, or outside. All right, thank you.